Hello, everyone out there in Taxi Land. This is the Mike and Abe show, and I hear the weather in New York, Mike, has been a little bit warmer.
The weather is a balmy. Well, today it's a balmy 40 degrees, but the last couple of days it was weird. It got up to in the 70s, middle of the week,
mm-hmm.
So that was pretty strange. And
uh-huh.
There's no such thing as global warming. It's just that it's 70 degrees in New York in February. So what can I tell you?
Uh-huh. So soon it'll be springtime there, and people can buy their rates on the shirt, the shirts, T-shirts.
Right. They can buy their taxi rate shirts. And I was looking at some of the cabs' taxi rate T-shirts from you. It's on the website, and they can
uh-huh.
purchase it and get it sent right to their house, ready
That's
just
right.
in time for spring.
Right. And
because, unfortunately,
yeah.
we have the geniuses at the TLC decided to make the New York City yellow cab the only yellow cab or the only cab service in the world that doesn't have rates for passengers to easily see on the side of their door.
Right.
So now we have to have cabbies wearing T-shirts with the rates, which I think is a good idea in with the fact that TLC doesn't know.
Okay, well, I have my shirts. I bought two of them. They're 100% cotton. The material on these shirts is so good. You can't find a T-shirt like this, a better T-shirt than this, I should say that. Okay, as far as
handcrafted.
Right, as far as the quality of the material. So, you people out there, go to NYC Taxi News and click on the shirt. It's on the front page, and you'll see an enlargement of the shirt, and mm-hmm. You'll get an idea of what it looks like, and there are other items to buy also. When you click on it, you'll see. Okay, but. Mike,
do you make the T-shirts yourself, or do you have someone else?
I designed the shirt, and it's made by a company in Pennsylvania called Spreadshirt. Okay.
Okay.
And as people order them, they press them and then send them out.
They send them out. Very
yeah.
good. Okay.
Yeah, and I got
credit
mine.
Credit cards, and you can order it over the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Get yeah. credit cards, and you can order over the phone. Okay, and mm-hmm. When I ordered my shirts, I had my shirt within a week, less than a week. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so it was pretty quick. All right, and you can get discounts. Okay, anybody that wants to buy multiple shirts, there are discounts, and they could email me, and I'll send them the rate chart. Okay, you can get up to 70% off if you depending on how many shirts you buy. Okay, that's all
I'll
say.
Deal.
You buy five shirts, six shirts. There are discounts for small amounts and discounts for large amounts. Okay.
And urban legend has it that the late Nat Goldbetter, rest his soul, he got his T-shirt just before his passing 2 weeks ago. So
yes.
I'm glad that was his last gift from us.
And Nat Goldbetter's words are, "I love this shirt."
Okay.
And we love Nat, and we love Nat, and we're sorry that he's not here to wear it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, he was just an icon. So, but the fact remains: the plight of the living continues, and we want you living with that T-shirt at the airport to show people what the rates are. Because you also have been a crusader for putting the rates back on the side of cab doors. You would think it would be an easiest decision a taxi commission could make—a 1-2-3 deal.
Mike,
but apparently,
I have filed a petition with the Taxi and Limousine Commission to have the rates put back on the door. Okay, now mm-hmm. my understanding is they have somewhere between 45 and 60 days to reply to my petition. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
They received it. It's 2 weeks now since they received it. Okay,
right.
Now I don't know if that means 45 to 60 days in real time or business days, but I would hope that by July, okay, no later than May or June, certainly by July, that I should get some sort of reply from them on my petition. Okay, and
yeah.
I think just about everybody in this industry is with me on this.
Sure,
okay?
And I just saw a Newark cab came up the other day. I was looking at the side of his cab door, and apparently the Newark cabs are now getting $2.80 a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting another 30 cents a mile more than us. So,
right.
But I mean, that's the thing. That's exactly the thinking behind putting the rates on the door. People can see how much it is. So if you get a 10-mile trip, and you say, okay, well, it's going to be 10 miles, it's going to cost $28 in mileage. okay, I'll go, versus, okay, I won't go, versus, I'm going to yell at the cabbie when I get there because I didn't know it this much.
You know, it's interesting, that you should say about the Newark taxis, because a lot of Newark taxis wind up in Manhattan because people take, you know, land at Newark Airport and they need to go into the city. Okay.
Right.
And if somebody's walking down the street and they see a taxi and the taxis are almost identical, they're both yellow. Okay. And I in the past have seen people walk up to Newark taxis thinking that they were New York City taxis. Okay.
Right.
And if people see two taxis standing next to each other, one with the rates on the door and one without the rates on the door, they might say, oh, I know what I'm going to pay for this taxi. I'm going to get in.
Sure.
And don't think those Newark taxi drivers don't grab those fares. Okay, they do.
I would not be surprised if they snuck a couple of fares here.
No, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know when I drop in Hoboken. This is before Uber started going to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Practically for free. I can't remember the last time I went to Hoboken. For my price. I mean,
right.
It used to be I'd get maybe $50. Okay, want to go to Hoboken? Yeah, like $50. If it's really late,
yeah.
No business, I'll say 40. These guys are going to Hoboken, New Jersey for $25, including the toll. And they say, well, I usually pay Uber $25. I say, listen, I'm not Uber. I say, that's why I do this, because I'm not Uber. Uber charges $25. Not me.
I used to get Hoboken fares in the Village. Okay, because it's close to the Holland Tunnel, and it's really not a long ride. Okay, and I remember I back in 2010, 2011, when I was still driving, I would get like 40 plus the toll.
Right.
Okay.
$40. And, plus, there you go.
Yeah.
And this is way back when. This is like
like 2010, 2011, 2009.
Right.
You know. Back in that, I've always gotten from, but they always originated, most of them originated, like on Christopher Street. Yeah, all right.
Uh-huh.
I used to sometimes pull over late at night. There's a newsstand just as you cross Christopher Street on 7th Avenue South. On the left side, there's a newsstand right next to the subway.
I know it well.
Okay. And I used to pull over there and just sit, okay? You know, rather than ride around the streets empty, you know, when it's not that busy. And sooner or later, within 10, 15 minutes, people would get into the taxi. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And many a time, people got in and they were going to Newark. Not Newark, rather Hoboken. Okay?
Hoboken, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a good spot. It's a good fishing hole, as you call it. All right? All right. And another good fishing hole is 6th Avenue and 3rd Street on the right side. Okay, just right across from the Waverly Theater. All right?
It's a good fishing hole, but sometimes you get a couple of things on the line you want to throw it back. Because they got a lot of riffraff over there at night, too. I mean,
yeah,
for you, maybe it was back in the day.
I got a fare one night to Mamaroneck from over there.
Mamaroneck?
Yeah.
Well, they probably came out of the Blue Note Cafe or
yeah, right.
One
they
of those,
they're coming out of the nightclubs there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, you know, you have a thing about bad passengers. I only think about the good passengers. All right.
Well, you know, I mean, the bad passengers exist too, you know.
Yeah, I know, but no matter, you could find those people anywhere. All right.
I don't want to find them anywhere.
But they're
I
there.
I don't want them at all.
No, look.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I mean about negatives and positives. The positive is that 99.99999% of the passengers are good. Okay?
It is amazing. It is amazing how honest these people are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you, we do not mention that enough, how the overwhelming majority of people are honest passengers who pay the meter and pay their fare and tip.
That's right.
If we say nothing else to the people listening to the show who are not cab drivers. I just want to say thank you very much for being honest. Because basically what we're doing is we're running a bank. We're lending $10, $15, $25, $50. We're basically lending people $50 sometimes for an hour and a half. Because what I also would like to do moving forward, not only the rates on the side of the door, is to work on something where we can get some prepay guarantee from cash customers or people in general on the street. Because what is starting to happen, unfortunately, we're getting a lot of the riffraff coming in for longer rides.
Mm-hmm.
And they just say, like, oh, you know, there's something wrong with your machine or your credit card machine. It's always me. Like, no, 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 no. I show them the slips. And
Mike.
Say, my machine isn't running fine all night.
Mike, I want to say something. I don't think there's anywhere in the rule book that says you can't ask for advance pay.
That's a good question. I'm going to look at that.
No,
because
I have asked for advance pay, you know, on a couple of occasions where I knew there was a risk, such as I once took.
It was sketchy. Yeah.
Yeah, I once took a young couple to New Jersey. What's that town? Way out there, Exit 12 on the Garden State, Toms River, right?
Elizabeth? Toms River.
I took it. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I took them there, and I got I got paid in advance. Okay, they were both drunk. They were both drunk, and they weren't drunk that they couldn't negotiate. Okay, but I could tell that they were both wiped out. All right, and it's a long story that they wound up passing out in the back. Right, but I had already been paid. Okay. You know, something like that I could understand. But you know something? If somebody's going up to the Bronx, you're insulting them by asking for payment in advance. All right?
Insulting them? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah, well, you know, the chances that you're going to get ripped off are 1 in 500 or 1 in 600. Okay?
Right.
Why care? Mm-hmm. Why care? I've
well,
taken...
I've kind of like...
Yeah. But I've taken people... You're talking over me. I'm not done. Okay? I've taken people to the Bronx hundreds of times. Hundreds, if not a thousand. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I can only think of once or twice when I got beat for the fare. Okay?
Right.
So what? Big deal. Don't run after the people. Turn around and go back to work.
Okay. No, it is a big deal, and I run after the people. That's what I do.
You do. Alan Decker, the late, great Alan Decker, said that his son once drove a cab, and Alan Decker told him, and Alan Decker told me this, okay, that he told his son, don't ever fight over money. If somebody jumps out of the cab and doesn't pay, don't ever chase them. Don't ever go after them. Just swallow it and leave. Okay, because you don't know.
Well, it shouldn't be that. I mean,
I
know from a legal standpoint,
he's
saying it, but from a practical standpoint, we should have some fallback in place immediately to protect against the deadbeats. Because
but you don't know
we
who
have
the
people with
are.
Bad credit cards. Well, what we can do is we can have pre-approval. I mean, we have McDonald's. Perfect example. Well, McDonald's gets the money up front. Does that make them racist? Saying, oh,
no.
You're a racist. I don't. What happens? You eat your food at McDonald's, then pay? No, you pay up front. When you get on a plane, you take your plane ride, then you pay? No, you pay up front.
Okay, Mike.
On down the line.
You said something interesting. Okay, find out if the credit card is good. Okay?
Right.
But
Which we should be able to do.
Yeah, well, but you don't know whether they're going to pay cash or credit, you know, unless you ask.
Right.
Okay, if they say mm-hmm. credit, you should be able to ask. Well, can you please swipe it so that I know that the credit card is good? I don't know, Mike. We have different opinions on this. Me, I know that I'm going to get beat for a fare once in a while, and I just let it go. Okay, you know, any store in the world gets robbed, or not. I wouldn't say robbed. You know, larcened. Okay, people go into and you know they go into a dollar store, they steal things. Okay, they go into I mean, you know, so what's different about a taxi? Okay, the bottom line should be such that you can absorb it if it happens once every blue moon.
I don't want to absorb it. I'm a stubborn Mick. I don't want to absorb getting ripped off. And I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
If we have the right, I'll tell you a couple of things I've done, which is a little. Trick of the trade, I want to tell the other cabbies. I'll get a guy in from, let's say, if he looks sketchy, and a lot of these deadbeats go up to the dispatcher because you're not going to refuse a fare if he asks the dispatcher. And some of the homeless at Kennedy, I even hate calling them homeless because they're just wacko bums that should be in jail. Half of them. Not all of them. But I mean, at Kennedy Airport, a guy will come up with an empty suitcase and say, I want to go to blah, blah, blah. So what I've told the guy, I said, well, listen, you know, if you go in there, I'll tell you what, are you paying credit card or cash? And he'll leave me a look and say, well, I'm paying cash. I said, okay, well, if you pay me cash up front now, I'll give you a discount. And a couple of times the guy has just left. Who I knew was a complete deadbeat. He goes, no, I'm going to pay you when you get there. I said, whoa. So do you have any money? He goes, I don't have the money. I say, listen, you can't take a cab. You have no money. He goes, I'll pay you when I get there. It's like, listen, I'm not running a bank. I have to see some money before I go. And they've gotten out, all right? Now, I don't know what the legalese is at, but I've told people, say, listen, if you want to pay now in advance, I'll give you a discount. And if it's a complete deadbeat-looking wacko, they don't have a dime in their pocket, and they'll say, oh, no, or, you know, or something. Or if they are, surprise, have a credit card, say, okay, well, let me see the credit card, you know, or something. Because right now we have, it's increasing. Now, one thing I can offer you as a cab driver on the streets is the bullshit is starting again, because a lot of people are taking longer rides. And then when they get there, oh, there's something wrong with the machine. Oh, and the other thing they do is they switch off the credit card. They zap it. All of a sudden they'll do the credit card and change it back to cash real fast. You got to make sure it processes. Because I had a few of those. And it's the Wild West out there. Hey, let me tell you something. When are we going to get rid of this this TV in the back? Why do we still need that thing?
Oh, that's something we should be talking about right now, because the Uber cars are going to start getting it also.
Oh, they're going to get them installed.
Well, there was a lawsuit that a company brought against the city of New York that wants to put ads in the Uber cars. You know, the same kind of ads that are in taxis, and the lawsuit has been started in 2015, and it's now the judge has now ruled that the taxi commission cannot stop them from allowing Uber. And it's not Uber that's doing it; it's the individual drivers of Uber that are going to be able to do it. Okay. So,
individual drivers.
Right. So it's their cars. They own the car.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
So the public will now not have that escape anymore into the Uber to duck the ads. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what it is. It's kind of like bordering on for who for what, because I've heard that the medallion owners say they get very little benefit financially from these TVs in the bag. Mm-hmm. And the commercials and the content are just so boring. I mean, you just have this constant wave of stuff that nobody wants to see. You talk about the TLC and all these surveys.
Right.
Ask them what they think about the TV in the back of the cab. Ask them what they think about the TV in the back of the cab, 1 foot in front of their face. That's
okay,
what they think
we know what they think about it, okay? And I want to get
they
off
love
the
it,
subject.
Right? They love it. The best thing about the cab ride is that TV 1 foot in front of their face.
Okay, I want to get off this subject because you know, we're talking about we're talking about poppy seeds. Okay, when I have a great big walnut here that I want to talk about. Okay.
Okay, fire away. Yeah.
Okay, and there was a meeting 2 weeks ago. Okay, at the TLC of the FHV committee. Okay, and testifying at that committee was a member of Congress, Adriano Espeland. Okay.
Espeland, yes.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Okay. It's spelled Espaillat. Okay. And,
Espaillat, yeah.
Yeah. And he's a congressman, and his district is in Washington. His district is Upper Manhattan and most of the Bronx. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And he's trying to protect the livery drivers that want to make a living, but in doing so, he wants to protect the entire industry, okay, and level the playing field and make sure that everybody makes money. And I'm going to read to you. Representative Espeland calls for New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission to be replaced with a new agency to ensure equitable market for New York City taxi and for hire drivers, owners, and rideshare services. Okay, and there's an article here on his own website, his own webpage. Okay, and he says here, just going to read this one two-line paragraph. Additionally, as part of my continued efforts to ensure all taxi and for-hire vehicles are treated equally, I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice to request an investigation of selective enforcement, entrapment practices, and discrimination within the TLC. Okay. He wants to get rid of the TLC. What does it mean? It means that they're going to be in... He wants the TLC investigated.
But
he's acting on it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's acting on it as a member of Congress. Okay? I'm not talking about New York.
Good.
I'm not talking about the New York State Legislature. I'm talking about the United States Congress. Okay?
Right.
All right? And we're going to see what happens. Okay? He's got a committee, and they're going over their strategies. They want to dump the TLC.
There's a lot of conflict of interest, though. So what's that?
They want to dump the TLC.
Well, there is a lot of conflict of interest. I mean, it goes on and on. First of all, why did the TLC lease this huge building? Not buy, but lease this huge building in Long Island City, which is extremely inconvenient for the cabbies. Well, they had a perfectly good place on Queens Boulevard, which is a lot more convenient you can park. But they moved out of there, and instead of buying a building, which they had barrels of cash to do, they leased it for long term. And also, I'll give you one guess who also leased space in the same building, our friends at Uber. So they lease a building. Apparently, Uber is leasing space inside the same building, so there's a little conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
The other conflict is just the fact that where is the vow from people leaving the TLC not to work for Uber or anybody else in the business for, let's say, at least 2 or 3 years when they leave TLC? Some of them go straight from TLC into these TNC companies, these app companies, and there should be a grace period. So if you want to investigate the TLC, I'm all on board with that. The only thing I would say that was good is I did an inspection for a guy with a yellow cab. And for the first time, I've been over at an inspection station in years. And it went right through. I was impressed how well the inspection station runs. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cars are in there. And, that said, my little shout-out to the staff at Woodside Inspection Station. They did a great job, very professional. No yelling, no hollering. But the fact of the matter remains, with this SBI Congress guy can do, he can take a look at the TLC and ask him, why are yellow cab drivers and app drivers and all these people now making what amounts to less than minimum wage in many cases?
That's what he's doing. Okay,
he wants to
put strength back in the industry and give the drivers a chance to make some real money.
Right.
Okay. He wants everything investigated. You know what's been going on the last 3 or 4 years. How did we get into the rut that we're in, where you can't move?
You can't move.
Yes. You can't move in the traffic in New York City. It is unmovable.
You really can't.
Right. You can't move. And not only that, there's hundreds of thousands of for-hire vehicles out there without passengers.
Yeah. Here's what they do now is I drove a friend of mine in from LaGuardia last night through the tunnel. No traffic on the highway, no traffic in the tunnel. I had a rush hour. I was shocked. I get onto 2nd Avenue. It's a sea of empty Uber cars. And what happens with these guys, they're moonlighting. They have these regular jobs where they now bring their cars into work. And they go out at night to make like $50, $60. So it's not even a full-time job for a lot of these Uber cars. And one thing I did when I was taking this cab for inspection, I went to a repair garage in Long Island City. And the guy was fixing about maybe 10 or 15 other Uber cars. I think he maybe had a service contract with Uber or Uber whatever, leasing, what have you. And one thing I noticed, I said, wow, you got a lot of cars sitting around here. Are they getting fixed? No, they're just sitting here because they can't find the driver for the daytime. So apparently the dynamic is the yellow cab can't get drivers for night, and the Uber can't get drivers for the day because it's almost impossible for them to respond on time to their calls in the traffic. So we have a dynamic there of these people now just buying cars, buying personal cars, going into Manhattan at the height of rush hour so they can make $40 or $50. But it's for the benefit of who? What about the general populace? What about Vox Populi mattering? And because, and the other thing I was telling Taxi Dave, I want to get into that. If you want to wrap up your Congressman Espalot's great venture, I want to talk about city buses. Go ahead, wrap up with Espalot. I just want
to. Well, that's it. That's it. You know, I have his article on. I think I put it on the news page. Okay.
Right.
All right. There's a lot going on, is what I'm saying, that we don't know about yet. Okay, that's yet to be revealed to the public. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But expect things to happen. Expect things to happen. These people are not going to sit idle. They're out to fix the situation. It cannot continue. There was an article on CBS NYC News, okay,
right.
New York City CBS News, about how in Brooklyn the hospital center in on DeKalb Avenue near the Manhattan Bridge,
right.
The hospital center, the ambulances can't get in or out. I mean, this is going
that
on
is
all over the city. You know, like to have a heart
right.
attack and get caught in Uber traffic.
No, it's ridiculous. And
all right.
They have, you know, they have a limit on the members of the city council. They have a cap on the number of people on the city council, like 51. They have things need some sort of cap. I mean, it's just building permits. You can't have just start building up 50 skyscrapers next to each other. They say, no, you can't do it because we have a limit. Limits and caps. Are because of sanity. Why is it all of a sudden now we're being a horrible person and say you have to put a cap on the car? No, that's the way it works. I jump back to the Yankee Stadium rule where the city rents the stadium to the Yankees, and if Mike and A want to just walk in there with a case of beer and start selling beer for $10 a piece, we'll get thrown out. What's the difference? You get an Uber car, you're not supposed to do it because you have yellow cab drivers who have paid for medallions and hack licenses and stuff like that.
Mike,
so there has to be a cap.
Mike, you're out there at night, right? I know you're a night guy, right?
Yep.
You know, when you're not floating around JFK where you spend half the night, right?
Yeah.
What's it like in Manhattan, you know, at 9 o'clock at night?
Actually, I was talking to some day drivers. The day drivers are making more money now than the night drivers because they said the traffic is better before 5 o'clock because 5 o'clock, here come the swarm of little black Uber Camry cars are clogging up the traffic with no people in them. They just go, and they don't sit and wait for calls. They just go real slow, and they're looking at their phone, they're going slow.
Why are they doing this? I don't get it. I would never do this. I would never in a million, you know? I mean, I'm used to getting into a yellow taxi, okay?
Right.
You know, heading into the city, or even before, picking up fares in Queens or Brooklyn, whatever.
Right.
All right. But eventually I would work my way into Manhattan. This is over a 40-year period. I mean, you know, time after time. And, you know, getting into Manhattan, and I wouldn't go 5 minutes without a fare, maybe 10 minutes. And,
right.
You know, and even late at night after midnight when things seem to slow down, you still get fares. You get the long fares. You get the guy going to Coney
right.
Island, the guy going to Bay Ridge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The guy going to Douglaston, right?
Right.
Soundview in
Bronx,
right? You know, way up there in the Bronx, you know, Pelham, right?
Yeah.
Okay? I mean...
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you get back to Manhattan, as soon as you come back over the Third Avenue Bridge, right? You know, you go down Second Avenue, right? Bingo, 125th Street, there's somebody going downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm used to. I'm not used to, I can't imagine riding around in an Uber car constantly looking at my phone and hoping the next fare is for me for an hour and a half.
Right.
Or 2 hours.
Right. Well, let me put it this way. One thing I found out is the game has changed. Is that basically... The day driver is making night driver money, and night driver is making day driver money. So we used to kill driving at night. We used to make a very good living driving a cab at night. And you say to yourself, well, I'm driving a cab at night, but at least I'm making good money. Now the game has changed. Now that it's a very quick night, and basically you have the rush hour. You have, let's say, you have to, and a lot of these day drivers, they know that they're supposed to be in at 4:30 or 5, and they always sneak at the 5:30. So it's a very quick night for the night driver. And some of these guys, the old guard, it's like, I don't know why we don't have any night drivers. It's like, well, you don't have any night drivers because you're letting your day driver float through the door in Queens, coming back with the cab at 5:30. So the night is usually ending now about 11:30, 12 o'clock. So if you're a night driver, it's not like the old days, not like the fat days. The fat days are over, as they say in the it's an old German expression. The fat days are over.
Well, tell me how your nights go. How does your, you know, give me a description of from 6 p.m. to, you know, I know you sometimes work till 2, 3 in the morning, right? You know,
right.
give me a description of what happens to you.
All right, here's my little routine. I come in from Queens and I change the cab in the city. I'm working with a guy, and I'm 6'3", and I'm driving a Prius because the car gets 35 miles a gallon. So I'm happy with that.
Right.
And I'm changing the car in Manhattan by Penn Station, and I'm going to work right away. I used to, you know me, I used to live in Queens.
Okay, so what time is it now? You're at Penn Station. What time is it?
Right, I get into Penn Station about 4:30, okay. And then I go over to where the other driver's supposed to meet on, like in Chelsea. I don't want to say specifically, but in Chelsea.
Okay.
And that's the thing. The driver's supposed to be there, let's say, before 5, like 4:45, 4:30. But they always float through like 5:08 or 5:15 or 5:30 and say, oh, the traffic, oh, the bridge,
the
oh,
question,
the blah, blah, blah.
Mike, the question is about fares. Tell me about fares.
Yes.
All right? Don't tell me about the driver that didn't gas up the car and wants you and makes believe it's full. Okay? I know about that. Okay, tell me about fares. How was your night spent from the time you get the taxi to the time you stop working?
All right,
describe
from the time
it.
I get the taxi,
describe a typical night.
Well, I try to describe it. You just stop me from describing it.
I'm not stopping you. Go ahead. You just go ahead.
Okay, so I get the cab at 5. The guy comes in, usually 5:10 or 5:15, says, traffic, and I had to fill up the gas. Whereupon I ask him, I say, well, why do you keep filling up the gas if it's a Prius and you have to put in $6 a day? Why are you going to a gas station?
When is your first
fare?
Where is your first fare and when?
You want to know about my night?
I don't want to know about the gas. I want to know about the fares. That's what I'm asking you.
I'm telling you why the guy is always late.
I don't care. I don't care. I want to know what happens when you're in the cab. That's what I want to know.
Right.
When you're going to work, where is your first fare?
Okay, the first fare is usually, what I always do is I take a right and go uptown. I go up 8th Avenue, and then I do a lot of work at in the theater district. Because it's always, you know, they're going to stay in the theater district and just go back and forth, and you make good money in the theater district, even though there's traffic. But I go up 8th Avenue, I usually hit Penn Station, and get somebody over there on 8th Avenue. And then I usually go like around the Columbus Circle. And then basically it's moving and grooving until about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Then I get something to eat from 9 to 9:30. And then it's pretty much over. Then you just, on an off-peak night, let's say from Sunday through Wednesday, from 9:30 to midnight, it's very, very slim pickings because there's this swarm of Uber cars that have come in. And that's something that taxi owners have to realize. You say, oh my God, I don't have any drivers from Sunday through Wednesday. It's like, yeah, well, that's because your day driver is coming in at 5:30. All right? So if your day driver came in at 4 o'clock with a discount and he could give the night driver the cash to get the gas at night when there's no line, you'd have night drivers all over the place. But these guys are so stubborn, they don't say anything to the day drivers, in my opinion, who come in late.
Okay, it's 9:30 and it's slowed down. Okay, what do you do? What do you do? You're still working.
Well, what do you do? I look at the newspaper. I try and see if there's a hockey game breaking or a Knick game breaking, or the Broadway shows usually break around 9:30, 10 o'clock. So there's still some activity there. Lincoln Center usually breaks around that time. So there's a couple of big event breaks in Manhattan. So between 9:30 and 10:30, 11, you can scratch around for a few more bucks. But, dude, I'm telling you, after 11, 11:30, it just is slim pickings. Because people, I guess, they have their TVs and they have Ubers up the yin-yang. stealing our business, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that hasn't been addressed. And these people with these apps for the taxis, I know there's getting a little bit more business, but in general, they've been a flop. And they should not have been a flop because we're charging a metered rate, whereas the app cars, the TNCs, or whatever they call themselves, charge double and triple the rate. So I don't understand why the app isn't a huge success and we're just charging a metered rate for the same service versus someone who's charging double for less quality. And
okay.
I blame it at promotion. They're too cheap to promote
okay,
their app.
Let me sum this up so far. You're busy from 5:30 till about 9 o'clock when you grab something to eat, okay?
Right.
What do you grab to eat? What do you grab? What do you do? Buy hot dogs from a hot dog vendor? What do you do?
I usually pick around in the garbage cans.
No, seriously. Seriously.
There was a great guy I went to by the Hudson Hotel. It was a little guy had a gyro wagon, so I would go with him like 2-3 times a week. But then this guy went on one of these long Middle East vacations, and his substitute guy, the food isn't the quality of the guy who left.
I would recommend the hot dog stand on 72nd and Broadway. Or Amsterdam over there. Okay.
Oh, you know how much the special is now? You know how much that special is now? This is the recession special or whatever
much,
it's called?
How much?
$5.90 for two hot dogs and a
wow. I used to pay 75 cents a hot dog. Are you kidding me?
I'll race you over there.
I'll bring my own hot dogs. I used to bring my own food. Okay.
And so the food of the gods.
Yeah, well, I used to cook food the night before I was going to work and bring it with me. But it's 9:30 and you grab something to eat and you're telling me it's slow, but there's still business out there for you because the theaters are closing, Lincoln Center is closing, and probably in the village there are a lot of small little theaters down there. Right, and so if you stay on the west side, you know, between say 72nd Street and the village, you're still getting fares, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what we used to, I've had a sudden infusion of logic into my routine, and you'll probably have a shred of pride in me saying this. Is obviously when I started in Queens, I would go straight to Kennedy, get my first trip in Kennedy, and either would go into the city. Or would be a shorty, what we call a shorty, a short trip around Kennedy. And I worked Kennedy for like 2 or 3 hours before I would go into Manhattan. But now since I'm starting in the city, I'm sometimes tempted if I get an east side job to shoot out to Kennedy. But I'm saying, man, that's a long drive for 50
bucks. It could take you an hour and a half to get there.
Right, because a lot of guys at 9 o'clock, that's what they do. They say, okay, well, I've had it. I'll go straight to Kennedy. But then go to Kennedy at 9 o'clock, because you got to say, okay, in their slim defense, it takes me between getting food and eating half hour between 9 and 9:30. So if you just went to Kennedy and got food there, that's your half hour, and you're in the lot eating versus sitting in the city. But then you got to wait another, let's say, 15 minutes. So that's 45 minutes, and you're at Kennedy. Now you don't know what you're going to get online. Now you're going to go to the terminal. That's another 15 minutes. That's an hour. So you've just gone out there, wasted an hour so far. Now you're getting a job. Are you going straight to the city? Maybe. Or you might get a job going to, you know, wherever, in Brooklyn or Queens, and then have to go back to Kennedy.
It's a crapshoot.
So blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's a crapshoot. So basically the math on Kennedy is if you go there at 9:30 or 9 o'clock, between 9 and midnight, 3 hours, you'll probably lose net an hour and change of driving time. So, you know, I mean, you can get lucky, and I think that's why a lot of guys you know, like Kennedy, because it's a little bit of a gamble and some thrill to it. But me, I've had enough thrills for one life.
Okay, listen,
I've been working the streets. I've been doing okay. It's a little Prius car, which is great. It's like driving a toy cab, and you can just maneuver so easily versus the van I used to drive.
So you're doing okay on the streets. You're still doing okay on the streets, regardless of all of the Uber schmovers out there. The Uber schmovers are waiting 2 hours for a fare, but you're still finding fares steadily. You know, between even after 9:30 up until midnight, you're still finding fees.
Yes.
That's the way it's always been. Okay?
Yeah,
that's the way
and
it's
I
always
do,
been.
I don't want to say it on air, but I do myself. I've managed to carve out a couple of fishing holes myself.
Okay,
which
fine.
I'm still driving.
All experienced taxi drivers know where to find fares. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something else right now, which is going back to maybe from what you experienced back when in your heyday of cab driving. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot better finding a place where there's a lot of activity and just sitting there. Instead of going up and down and left and right and left and right and up, you just say, listen, let me sit on Park Avenue. Let me sit on Madison Avenue. Let me sit here. You could actually, there's a few places with a lot of people coming out, like the terminals and Grand Central, where when you do the math, it's like, well, I'm getting someone in the cab who's been pointed to me by a dispatcher. So there is a safety element there, because if there's a wacko, he's not going to go up to a dispatcher and say, I need a cab, because it's one more element that he can get ID'd with, or she can get ID'd.
Okay, but
you
know we're not talking about when you're at the airport. We're talking about you when you're in the city, okay?
That's what I'm saying, a dispatcher at Penn Station.
But you can't tell who's on that line, all right?
Well, it's secure. It's more security getting fares from a line. That's what I'm saying.
So in other words, you're telling me you go and you stand on line at Penn Station?
Sometimes. On the 8th Avenue side or on the 7th Avenue side.
I would get online.
Rarely I'll stand at Grand Central.
I would get online at Penn Station if I saw the line was moving. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
When I didn't see
the line is moving, I would just ride up 8th Avenue or go over to 10th Avenue, right up 10th Avenue. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you finding fares on Broadway between 96th Street and the Columbus Circle?
Yes, southbound. You can get some fares up by
southbound.
Columbia University, and you get some fares southbound by, there's a big Fairway supermarket on the right, and there's Zabar's, you know, remember Zabar's?
Yeah, Zabar's is 83rd Street, I think, right?
Yeah, so there is some local stuff that you can muddle through.
Let me tell you a little secret. Most of the cabs going, you know, between Columbus Circle and 96th Street, or even above 96th Street, okay, the taxis going uptown have people in them. And the taxis coming downtown are looking for people, okay? I would sometimes reverse that, and if I was empty, go up Broadway and find fares.
Right.
Because that's where, because that's where they're having trouble finding an empty taxi. Okay.
Right.
And I would go all the way up to 106th Street or even 116th Street looking for fares.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is pre green card days, okay? When I know the green cars are there. But they were always there anyway as liveries, so it's no big deal. Okay? And I would go as far as 125th Street and find
fares.
Oh,
all I got to do is for you. What I've gotten into the habit of doing, which you might not agree with, but as it's not horrible, is many times, if it's raining or something and it's busy, I won't do it, but if it's slow, I will, if I have a job up to, let's say, 96 in Broadway, and I'm right by the West Side Highway, or if I'm right by the East River Drive, I will go over, on duty, mind you, go over towards the West Side Highway, jump onto it at 96th Street, and go all the way to the bottom at 57th Street, and invest 5 minutes of going on the highway back to Midtown, where everybody's looking for a cab, versus plowing down Broadway, where you might get a fare.
I always work the streets, okay? I don't jump on highways. Right. Unless if I was in Riverdale, I would jump on the highway and take it down to 125th Street. Okay.
But the game has changed.
Yeah.
The game has changed. There are too many cabs, too many green cars, too many Uber cars.
Okay.
And there's too much, there's like this swarm of cars going southbound on Broadway, and you are one of 30 or 40 cabs looking for five people. So versus getting on the highway and getting off of the exit.
I imagine, I haven't been on the streets. Okay, in a number of years now, but I would still
I would still
cruise Broadway from 96th Street down.
Right, and I'd say maybe 20% of the time you get somebody; the other time you're wasting 15 minutes.
But I'll take that chance for 20%. Okay, rather than get on the highway where I know it's 0%.
Well, like I said, it's 0%, and it's 5 minutes to get back into where there's somebody waiting.
Look, if you ask 20 taxi drivers, you'll get 20 different answers about what they would do. Okay?
Right.
All right?
Well, I don't know what the math is, but if it's, you know.
But
I know what you're saying.
But you really don't save a lot of time because when you go down the highway, you wind up over on 12th Avenue, and when you go down Broadway, you wind up going on 8th Avenue or 7th Avenue, okay?
Right.
You know, you go around Columbus Circle, you go past the Time Warner Building, okay, and then you start cruising down Broadway, okay, or 7th Avenue.
You get into something. There is a swarm of cars going southbound all night long, especially if it's an off-peak night. If it's like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think you'd have to be a moron to go all the way down empty because there's always somebody looking for a cab on a Friday night.
But a smart cab driver keeps his eye, you know, hugs the sidewalk, okay, and keeps his eye on the street, okay?
Maybe, right? Yes, maybe not.
Well, if you're going to just drive down and just look straight ahead, you're going to miss fares. Because they come come crawling out of places that you wouldn't see if you just have your eyes focused on the road.
I've seen many
taxis ride by these fares and me be right behind them and get them.
Right.
Okay.
Well, one thing the day drivers have told me is, I know the best line I heard about a day driver, because I said, man, how do you make money in the daytime? There's so much traffic and trucks and you can't move. He goes, here's what you do. Passenger gets in the cab and you hit the meter. I said, okay, then what? He goes, that's it. I said, well, what do you do after that? He goes, you don't do anything. Just your goal is to get four people sitting in a cab and hit the meter per hour. I said, well, what about it? He goes, don't worry about it. That's your job. Your job is to keep the meter running. So then I did the math. It's like, well, if it's $30 an hour sitting in a cab in waiting time, and you get four different people per hour, you're making a living. You're making a living going nowhere if you get four different people an hour sitting in traffic and not moving. So mm-hmm. I guess that's how these guys are making money. But the way he said it is just full surrender. It's like, listen, they say, do you have to go to the airport? No. It's like, do you have to catch a train? It's like, no. He goes, they have to catch a train. So don't worry about it.
If you're going to Penn Station, if you pick up somebody on, say 72nd and Broadway, and they're going to Penn Station. How do you go?
Subway? Oh, you mean me? How do I go?
What do you mean subway? You're driving a taxi.
What time? It's a variable.
What time? What time? 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
Yeah.
From where? 72nd and Broadway?
Yeah.
Well, I usually take I look at the split for 9th Avenue and then Broadway. If 9th Avenue looks clear, I'll shoot down 9th Avenue and cut across, or else I'll shoot down 9th Avenue to 58th Street and go down Broadway into 7th. But I always ask them how do they want to go, because if you choose your way, they're all like, rah, 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 rah. So you're better off just asking them how they want to go. And the other thing that's happening, real quick, let me just interrupt you for the 50th time here, is these people are swearing, and I've been kind of like giving friendly little lectures about the Waze scenario and the Google shortcuts and Google Maps and all that. I say, listen, what you got to understand, you're looking at the Waze map, you're looking at the Google shortcuts, you're looking at all these little shortcuts on your little, the millennials are just horrible. You can't tell them anything, but because this is like their Jesus Christ is this freaking phone. It's like this is their religion, this phone. I say, listen, you have to understand, you're getting a shortcut from your app phone. But what you don't understand is there's 1,000 people looking at the shortcut simultaneously. And Abe, I've seen over and over and over again someone tell me, oh, it says on the it says here to go over West 40th Street to Park Avenue. And guess what? I take a left on the 40th Street. There's 50 little black Camry Uber cars and SUVs who have looked at the shortcut and have sworn that this is the way to go. And I tell the guy, I say, listen, I don't want to say I told you so, because I don't have to say I told you so. As you can see, I told you so, that there's 100 guys looking at the same shortcut at the same time. So it's about time they start giving a little more respect to the cabbie who knows the streets. And maybe think opposite. If you look at a shortcut and it tells you a shortcut, do what the exact opposite is of the shortcut. And there probably won't be anybody on that street. You know, the red line is green and green line is red. That's mm-hmm. the bizarre scenario now. What were you going to say? I think we got to wrap the show, especially me, because I got to do something.
Well, it's time to go. I think it doesn't appear like we cracked any no great breaking news here today, except for the
Well,
fact that
the last thing I want to say, see, now you got me started again. The last thing I want to say, thank you very much to the Taxi Dave Show, and Abe, you've done a great job also with the website. But man, I went on a rant on the Taxi Dave Show on WOR about, I said, listen, the city is hammering us for 50 cents a trip to the MTA.
Right.
And I look at the back of city buses, and I see Via ads, and I see Uber ads
right.
on the back of a union-driven MTA worker bus with no people in it. So you have this empty bus being driven by a union worker with an Uber ad and a Via ad on the back of the bus, basically advertising to get drivers for private transportation that can suck away money from the MTA while I'm sitting there in my yellow cab shoveling in 50 cents a trip. And I ranted about that, and I said, I think what moron is in charge of that? And sure enough, I saw somebody took it upon themselves to start ripping off the Via and Uber ads from the back of city buses, which I thought was a nice thing to do. I don't know who did it or why they did it, but they got rid of some of the
ads. They must have heard you. Okay.
What's that?
They must have heard you. You know,
they must have heard me. It's a big station. WOR.
Yeah. And I just want to say this. Let me say this. You know, not only is Uber and all those others advertising on the back of buses, Uber has just started a new service, sort of a minivan service, where people have to go and catch it like a bus.
What?
You know, not only
are they're
running a minivan service, Uber.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is in direct competition with the buses.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Where is the TWU, Transit Workers Union Local 100? Where
you
are
told
these
me
guys?
You were going to call them.
We have the wheels in motion. Apparently, the wheels are in motion to get some people from that organization on the shows, meaning your show and the Taxi Day show.
Okay.
That'll be very interesting because I want to know what they have to say. Say, listen, you have these two private transportation companies paying their workers about half of what your guys are making, and you're allowing them to advertise on the back of union-operated buses dragging revenue away from that operation. Why would you do that? And I think it's a head-scratcher at the very least.
Yeah.
So either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, but I hope it does happen because I want to get some answers. I want to find out what moron would do that? As they're talking about congestion pricing and
well, we should refuse to give them any more money until they get all those ads off the buses.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, Mike, let's get out of here. All right, because you got to go and I got things
gotcha.
To do. All right.
Okay.
And I want to say to visit our advertisers on NYC Taxi News. Okay.
Right. Watch
some of the videos. I posted some good videos this week. Okay. Read all the news on the media page. Okay. Current news items. Okay. And you know, use our sponsors. Peter Joseph, he's a bankruptcy attorney.
Right.
Tony Tax is doing your taxes, and if you haven't gotten your taxes together yet, time is ticking. Okay. It's almost March.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
WB Taxi has great deals. So does Checker.
Great deals.
Okay, so does Checker.
Checker.
And so does the MTBOT. Okay. And go to the front page, NYC Taxi News, and click on these ads, and you'll go to their websites. And that's it. There's nothing else to say, Mike. Okay?
And the ads are very reasonable. If you want to advertise, you can contact me or Abe, Michael or Abe. And email us or get in touch with us. And don't be afraid to advertise on the website because it's not a rip-off. It's very extremely reasonable. And even for a guy who wants to get some cabs out, if you get one driver per month, it's a wash. So call in, check out the prices, and let's get that show on the road, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. And hopefully we'll have some stuff to tell you next week. Okay.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
You know, rather than a review of how to drive a taxi in New York. Okay?
Isn't that the name of the game?
But they're looking for good, you know, earth-shattering news, which we don't always have. But there are people working on our problems. I know that. Okay?
And they will to make them better or make them worse?
To make them better. To get things back to where people can make a living in this business and nobody's thinking about blowing their brains out. Okay?
Which
all right?
Sadly has happened, yes.
Okay. Yes, more than once. Okay?
Amen. More than once. Okay, let's
everybody, all you guys, have a good week, and we'll see you again soon.